Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. Happy 95th birthday to you. Happy 95th birthday to you. Happy 95th birthday, shoo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo.
Moody Radio.
Happy birthday to you. That's the only one I don't like.
Try a different one.
Yeah, that's the only one I don't like. I like
the
all the other ones.
Jazz is cool. Country's fun. See, this one. This one hits me.
Isn't this a little early?
Woohoo!
All right.
Yes.
There we go.
That's what I need.
Here you go.
You gonna play the trumpet on this one, Super Di?
Yep, always.
Oh, she's got the mute on that thing. I heard it back there. I think I could play drums on this song. In fact, I'm certain I could.
Well, you know, Super Di's a drummer.
Oh, yeah, she's a rocker. We're going to feature her at 180 Chicago some weekend soon.
Oh, well.
That'd be great.
I think it would be phenomenal.
I agree.
Moody Radio.
That's a Kimball organ, man. That's what that is.
Oh. Moody Radio is 95 years old this week. 95 years of broadcasting.
Yeah, pretty
just
cool.
Just amazing.
Got a cool thing going on at 9:05 today. Got a Facebook Live. And
yes.
We're going to have a bunch of folks in here gathered around the Green Bay Packers cake.
I don't know if I can eat this cake.
Okay. Oh, can we clarify that, please?
The only thing I'm doing is I'm scraping off the top, and then I can maybe indulge. And yeah. Super Di's with us. She's not the last one disappointed around here.
No.
She's one of the lead disappointed ones. So what happened?
I'm sure many of you have been in that situation. You order a cake, and everything's great. You go to pick it up, and it's not great.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, they're...
This thing came back with, I look at it and I thought, who brought in the Green Bay Packer cake?
There's
to have
so
our
many
Moody
things
Radio wrong with this cake.
Logo.
Yeah.
But so the it looks like the icing tint was maybe a little off.
A little off.
Instead of getting
Slotchy
our.
And
it's like
just,
Brett Favre got to it.
Yeah.
Not Aaron Rodgers, though.
And.
He doesn't want to put Green Bay Packer colors on his cake.
Had to bring it in, so I'm like, oh.
So we've got a Moody Radio happy birthday / Green Bay Packers colors on our cake.
Someone must have heard we were Bears fans, and they were trying to get us back.
9:05, Facebook Live. We will cut our birthday cake and have a little party here in the studio.
Yep.
So you can join us virtually at 9:05 on Facebook.
You guys.
We'll pray spiritual warfare prayers over it before
absolutely.
We indulge, though.
Of course. But you brought in this cake.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, Jonathan. You got to look at it for 4 hours, and you can't have anything until the 4 hours are up. It's like that marshmallow study for kids, where it's like, I'll give you this one marshmallow, but if you...
That's a funny study.
Yeah, and...
If you can wait 15 minutes, you get another one.
Except you're asking me to wait 4 hours and 5 minutes.
You see how many kids did wait, though? A few of them did.
Yeah, they did.
That's good for them. That's patience right there. I would have been one of the kids
Here's
who ate the one.
Here's what we're going to do, Young Thunder.
Yeah.
I've got a plan.
What's your plan?
We're
gonna let
actually,
me eat the icing, get the Green Bay Packers stuff.
No, when I was a kid, I knew how to do this, so I'm sure I can pull it off still.
What's that?
You do subterranean eating on this.
Ah,
thing.
Okay. You're gonna eat from the eat from the bottom and the back.
Eat from the bottom and the back, and it works great.
Subterranean eating.
Hilarious.
I used to dig in with a knife, and then flip the knife up into the bowels of the cake.
Oh, that's awesome!
Scrape out vast amounts of cake.
That's extremely
like
impressive.
Put it together.
No, just hope that the walls don't cave in.
Not too much. Well, that's why you eat from the back too, because as long as it doesn't completely crumble, then no one's really gonna see it.
No, they don't. But yeah, I used to do surgical procedures to get that preemptive hit on the cake.
That's really funny.
Well, can we make this a little more positive? Maybe we're celebrating Milwaukee Bucks instead of Packers.
No, it's just a screwed up cake.
Okay.
What are the Packers colors again?
Let me go
get the cake.
And
so
we
I can
got
say.
Soul.
Puke
it's
green
that same
and yellow.
Kind of green though for the Bucks, right?
It's a darker.
It's a definite. It's a dark, rich green.
Less
for the Bucks.
Less the vomity.
Oh, brother.
Wow. Enjoy your cake, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks, Young Thunder.
Well, that's just how I feel about my Green Bay Packers.
Are you still going to eat the cake?
Of course.
Let's just be honest here.
Of course.
Okay.
No matter what the colors are, I'll close my eyes and
I'm just so frustrated.
I'll just act like it has something else
on it. We can get you into the lily white section in the back when we go subterranean.
Cool.
Now, I'm not going to eat any.
Yeah, but you're going to help me out
here. Then I'm going to help you do some subterranean. Oh, okay. And we'll see if anyone that comes in for the Facebook Live is
knows
wakes
about
up early enough to know about this.
Hey, that looks like someone took a slice out of that cake early.
That's great.
5:06 is the time. It's Carl and Crew Mornings on this beautiful Friday morning. And by the way, it starts to be balmy out there.
Smuggy.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, this next week, this is going to be the week that makes us appreciate fall. This week that's coming up.
You
is
think gonna, so?
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am, too. But it's one of those weeks that's going to make you go, ooh, fall is in the air.
Yeah.
Please.
Can you believe the pigskins are going to start to get thrown around here pretty quick,
so
guys?
So ready, man. Next week is training camp.
Unbelievable. Are the boys here for football yet? Are they in? Are they doing reps?
I think they report on Tuesday.
Yeah.
College boys.
Oh. You know what? I have no idea. I would assume probably pretty close to it because schools kind of come back mid-August. So
yeah,
I know high school's been practicing.
Oh boy, 42-82.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gonna have to boot them off the show for a little bit.
No cake for you.
No cake for you. 42-82. No cake for you.
What'd they say?
Go Pack. Go all caps.
Oh,
you can't be yelling at us this early in the morning. Those kind of cheers.
Uh-uh.
All right, 5:07 is the time. We're going to roll on today, and we got a fun one for you. Here's how we're going to set it up. What are you most likely to lose? And here's the riddle on this one. If you got to call in, you got to say, this is what I'm most likely to lose, and this is the central passage of Scripture.
What?
All you got to have is the book of the Bible and the chapter that this is related to. What am I most likely to lose, and what is our central passage of Scripture for today? The book of the Bible and the chapter.
So you're calling with both your own item that you're most likely
to lose.
Yeah, you
can't screw that one up.
Lose, and then you've got to take a guess at where we're going with this.
The book of the Bible and the chapter that this is kind of related to. Now, there's a Carl and Crew prize pack on the line for this bad boy. So think about it. Here's the clue and the question. What are you most likely to lose? 312-274-9624. Give us a call right now. Give us a guess. There's Carl and Crew prize pack. Do you know what's in this thing? You know how they say everything but the kitchen sink?
Yes.
This one has the kitchen sink in it, too.
Oh, nice.
It's got the whole enchilada. 312-274-9624. What are you most likely to lose? And the book and chapter we're referring to today. Carl and Crew prize pack. Come and get it.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Here we go, guys. 5:15 is the time. We're celebrating 95 years today, this week. Final day of celebrating this. So got a Carl and Crew prize pack on the line for you early birds. This is all you got to do. Guess this. First, call in with the answer to this question. What are you most likely to lose? That's the simple one. Now we're asking you to go, okay, what are you most likely to, and let me put emphasis here on a word, lose. What are you most likely to lose? Call in with that answer. Mm-hmm. And what is the book and chapter that we are in today? That simple, guys.
Hint, it's related to our question of losing things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I went with New Testament. Now I'm going to whittle it down to it's one of the Gospels.
Okay.
Things most likely to lose deals with lost things. What are you most likely to lose?
That's it. We can't give away any more than that.
Okay. What are you most likely to lose, Carl?
What am I most likely to lose?
Track of the time.
With you, my mind.
No. What? Do you lose your keys?
Track of the time. We're going to go there this morning, huh?
Okay.
That's where we're going to go on this Freedom Friday. I can't have one day of the week where I don't get hit about that.
I think it's a pretty good place to go.
I guess so.
I lose my phone all the time.
You do?
I lose my phone at least 5 times a day. I've even had my phone in my hand and was talking on it and went, where in the world is my phone? Have you ever done that?
I've done it with my glasses. I walked all over the home looking for my glasses, and they're on my
face.
And
then you're on your face. Where are they? Oh, what are you most likely to lose? And How does that relate to our question? What chapter of the Bible do you think we're going for? Now the calls are coming in.
Kurt in Chicago. What do you say, Kurt?
Hey, good morning, Carl. How are you?
Doing great, man. What do you say? What are you most likely to lose?
Sleep.
Says the man who's up at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
All right. Take a shot at the chapter and book and chapter.
Mark 8.
Mm. Good shot, but miss. Keep it up. Keep rocking with Jesus, Kurt. I love these guys that are up early like this.
Okay. That was a great guess, though.
That was a great guess.
I'm trying to figure out what's happening in Mark 8 that would drive him to that guess. I'd have to look it up. Do you know offhand?
Yeah, I think I do. I think it's a gospel account of... Hold on. Let me try to guess. I can't say what I was going to say because it's going to give away the other answer.
Okay.
All right, let's go. We got calls pouring in right now. We got a Carl and Crew prize pack online. Call in with what are you most likely to lose? Oh, man, they're pouring in now. What are you most likely to lose? And what passage then of scripture is that leading us into today? The book and the chapter. 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624. Geronimo from Rockford, what do you say, my man? What do you lose?
Focus.
Focus, man. You guys are creative. Sleep and
very
focus.
Very philosophical.
Yes, very philosophical. Take a shot at the book and the chapter.
Matthew 14.
Mm. Oh, man.
Good shot,
no,
Geronimo.
That's not
good
it.
Not quite.
Shot.
Good guess.
Tim in Alsip, what do you say, man? What are you most likely to lose?
My favorite hat I wear to work.
Oh, no.
Every single day. I either leave it in my van or I take it in the house, and every morning I can't find the thing.
Is it a ball cap? What kind of cap?
Yeah, just a baseball cap.
Dude, aren't there's baseball caps. They fit so good. It's like, oh, ho, ho. Yeah, got to have that one. Yeah. Right on. Okay, yeah. Give it a shot, Tim. What do you say?
I think 1 Corinthians 15.
Shoot. Sorry,
oh,
Tim.
Man.
Got some great, great shots here going at it here. Luke in Spring Grove. This ain't fair. Can we let Luke play?
I think we can let him play.
We can?
Yeah.
All right, Luke. Luke, how are you doing this morning, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing great. What are you most likely to lose?
My work hat.
Your work hat?
Another hat, huh?
Another hat. Oh, that's good. All right, Luke. This is kind of unfair. You know that because of what your dad and mom named you, right? You kind of get
that's
a hint.
Right.
You kind of get
I'm
a hint.
I'm getting the hint.
You're getting the hint. All right, take it away, my man. What book and what chapter?
Luke 15.
Boom! We
ding,
got
ding,
a winner.
Ding, ding.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yep. Knew that we had that there somewhere. Way to
he
go,
got it.
Man.
He got it.
Way to go, Luke. Hang on the line. Guess what? You are a winner. Did Tony have that, too, when he called in? He didn't have that.
Oh, wow.
Luke, stay on the horn here, my man. What's going on in Luke 15, Luke?
It's the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep.
Yeah, and the lost sons. Mm-hmm. Way to go, my man. And that's what we're tackling here today.
Lost things.
Lost things.
Luke got it. Of course it was Luke who got Luke chapter 15.
Oh, my goodness.
Seems fitting.
It's great. 5:20 is the time. Coming up, we are going to unveil where we're going here today, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Way to go, Luke.
And to our texters, yes, you got it as well, 1204. Sorry you had to call in to win the prize, but 1204, 5181, 1691.
Oh,
you
got some folks won that
You
thing.
Got it as well. Little pride. You win.
You but win. Stay humble.
Moral victory.
Yeah, moral victory, but stay humble.
Stay humble.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
All right, taking your calls on this topic. Where did God find you? We've got three little stories here that are amazing, and we're going to recap those stories here in just a moment. They're the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. We're going to get into that, but let me tackle one of them right now, and that's the lost son. It's an epic story of a son who totally unconventionally comes to his father and says, I want my share of the inheritance, which is highly inappropriate. You never go get a cut of your share into the inheritance till the dad's croaked. The dad's alive and well. This is a story that Jesus is telling, and it represents how much lost people matter to God. So the son takes off. And the way the story's told, he, you know, the people of that day would have got it. He's off in Antioch, and he's just having a ball. And he's squandering all this inheritance, right? I mean, squandering it to the point where he's living with the pigs. And he's saying to himself, what in the world's going on here, man? How much more do my dad's slaves have than the condition that I'm in? Mm-hmm. We know he's in bad shape because when he comes back home, I'm not going to linger on this one. They put sandals on his feet. To be barefoot when you're coming back home, you are absolutely destitute. And there's a level of shame attached with that. Mm. Not for this dad. He loves him big time. There's one thing I want to tell you that is very, very important. I think when you go to rescue wayward kids, wayward people, people that are running away from God, when you go to rescue them, you actually get in God's way. The model here is to be there, to be ready, to be approachable, to be ready to run down the road. The only time you see God in a hurry in the scriptures is in Luke 15, where the father runs to meet the son. But that's after the son has repented and headed home. There's a certain amount of holiness and holy awe when you allow a person to come to the end of themselves. And I really believe, as a pastor, both biblically and empirically, that when we get in God's way and try to keep propping people up from being fully broken, you're actually ripping that person off from God's best. So that's a thought I want to give you today. Does it mean that you're there to love them when they come home? You better be. We need to be. But sometimes in order for people to come face to face and be found in Jesus Christ, they got to hit the bottom like that lost son.
And it's so tough.
It's brutal. My dad did it to me, though.
Oh, my goodness. It's so difficult. What did your dad do?
Well, I mean, he told me, he said, listen, this is very important. If you're an angry evangelical and a jerk cookie, don't do this. First things first, you got to go repent to your kids or your spouse or your friends and tell them, look, I'm a jerk. But if you're a loving person that lives in the grace of God, like my dad did, you can go to him and say, you know what? I love you so much, and I'm here for you, but I'm praying today that you're going to feel the depth of your depravity. That's what my dad asked God to do. Mm. And it's a hard one, but he distanced himself then. He didn't play nicey-nice with me anymore. It's not like, oh, let's get you coming back to church. He's like, uh-uh. We're praying that this whole party comes to a crashing end for you, Carl. This is an important point. We hadn't even planned on hitting this today. But this is critical, and someone needs to hear this.
So you got to feel
full weight of my sin.
Of your sin.
Without anyone bailing me
and
out.
And the brokenness.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The pain.
Yeah.
The exhaustion, just being flat out worn out from the life that you were living. You got to feel all of that. And no doubt God used that sort of coming to the end of yourself to force you to see there's no life here.
Yeah, it's the only thing God used.
Mm.
I mean, every other thing it had been worked on before. Remember, I had a pastor come up to my home to try to cast demons out of me. And he looked at me and he said, you know, the real problem is you. Mm. You got you in you. You don't have demons in you. That was sobering. You know what's funny about that? It was so embarrassing. I had to go do a line of coke and get me a Heineken.
Oof.
Because I wanted to get away from myself. Isn't that weird?
That makes sense because... Yeah. Oftentimes when we're confronted for the truth, you know, we have two options. It's either to accept it and to change or to escape. Run away into kind of those shame messages that we tell ourselves.
I was so embarrassed that there wasn't a demonic problem with me and that it was a personal problem with me that I went and uncorked a Heineken and a line of cocaine.
Right.
Guys, listen to me. Where did God find me, Carl? At the bottom. God scraped me up off the bottom of the barrel. And what did it look like for me? I've been seeing this more and more lately. God didn't save me from cocaine and whiskey. He saved me from me. So he just found me at the end of myself with all the crutches kicked out from under me. Somebody texted in, said God found him in the basement.
Physically in the basement while they were sleeping. And they were watching a movie. The rest of the family was sleeping, and they had an encounter with God. We want to ask you, where did God find you? Maybe he found you at the bottom. Maybe he found you at the top, at the peak of what you thought you wanted.
That's a great point.
And God found you there in your emptiness. Where did God find you? 312-274-9624.
Barbara, first time caller in Chicago. What do you say, Barbara?
I tell you, God found me in a bar. I was just sitting in a bar looking around, and all of a sudden this person told me, get up and get out. And I looked around, and I said, man, is that liquor? And I knew it was him. I knew it was God. And I've been at the bar since my early middle 30s, and I'm now 61 years old.
Wow.
Oh, Barbara. It's awesome. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I love him. Love God. Am I where I want to be at again? No. Am I striving to get there? Yes, I am. I pay my tithes to a church here in Chicago. Never laid eyes on them because this is what I want to do. This I'm obligated to do that. When he blessed me with a job, an awesome job, dealing with the children, yes, I would give him the world, and he don't even need it.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. You're right on about that. Barbara, I want to say a couple of things to you. Number one, sister, I love your love for Jesus. I love it. And I want you to know that, and you probably know this, but let me just be really clear. His sacrifice was enough. And here's what's really cool, Barbara. You don't owe him a thing. Isn't that amazing? We don't owe him anything. Mm-hmm. But by God's grace, we get to partner with him. It's an awesome thing.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
All right, 6:03 is the time. Allie's in here cracking me up today. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Friday. Guys,
guess what? We got a sheet cake in here that looks like the Green Bay Packers threw up on it.
Yeah.
No.
Sad.
Not what I ordered, people.
Okay.
Just going to say that.
Explain it.
It's our 95th birthday.
Yep.
So Super Die goes to this bakery and she orders this cake that has our Moody Radio logo, 95 years, and you pick it up. And what do you get?
I got, a Green Bay Packer colored logo cake. It is off-centered, splotchy. There's a cut weird thing in the middle.
What's the and thing then, in the middle, by the way?
I don't know. They folded the cake in half and then reopened it again or something. I don't know. And then it's just got writing on it. It was supposed to be covered with balloons and... No.
So instead of like our moody blue and green, we got.
Guess what I'm going to do?
I had a cry yesterday when I saw that.
So it's off centered. There's like 2 inches with no decor on it at all.
I know.
I'm about 14 inches tall.
I really thought I was going to cry.
I'm going to cut that out. Oh, no, it's not that bad. Super. I laughed my head off. First thing I said, what'd I say? I said, it's Green Bay Packer cake.
I know.
Yeah, the colors were off.
The colors were so off. Oh. And I shouldn't have said that to Di first thing.
You really got her going on that one.
She's like, oh. And I said, I got to talk about this. No, do not talk about it on air.
It's too fresh.
It is.
Oh, you didn't make it, Super Di.
No.
It was nothing you did.
I'm not going to tell you where you went was the problem, but I'm not going to say where.
Okay, thank you.
It was a bakery.
That's good.
Not to be named.
Not to be named.
No. They had an off day.
Yeah. That's me in the corner.
Basically.
It's got Packer colors and we're hating it too.
The off-center, though, is really hilarious.
Packer fans.
Sorry, we love you, Packer fans.
Know.
We just don't like your team colors.
I don't know what they cake.
6:04 is the time. It's Carlin Crew Mornings here. And I got to tell you right now, I need you to hear me. There is a place where you go, and it's the only place you can go where God will save your soul. And some of you are there today. I need you to hear me right now. Lost people matter to God. And you might be saying, Carl, I'm as lost as anyone has ever been in their life. And I'm telling you right now, you are strategically positioned for God to breathe life into you. I am telling you, the further down and out we are, the more positioned we are for God to give us hope and life. I once heard it said by a great theologian, unless a man is broken and comes to the end of himself, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And that is so true. And I want you to know that what qualifies you for heaven is that you can't do it, and only Jesus can. The parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son in Luke 15 that's told by Jesus illustrates that no matter how lost you feel, Jesus is coming after you. No matter how far you think you've fallen, you haven't outrun Jesus. God's arm is not too short to reach out to you in your time of need. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus is calling your name this morning. And I'm asking you to respond to him. And you might say, well, Carl, how do I do that? I'm ready. I feel like I'm ready. It's this simple. If you believe that Jesus Christ loved you enough, even in your pain right now, to admit that he died for your sins, that he went to the cross and he spilled his blood as a sacrifice for your sin, and no amount of your work could get you squared and really into connection with God, praise God. That's the kind of belief that will save your soul and put you on a path less traveled today. Just like the young son who wandered away from home, if you're at the end of yourself and you realize, man, my father's servants, I mean, it's you look back up the road and you go, God's kids have it so much better than I do. You become one of God's kids today. Believe that Jesus died for you and tell Jesus today, I'm coming home, I am turning, I've been lost, and I'm now found, and I'm going to follow you the rest of my life, Jesus. I give you my life today. If that's you right now, you're ready to do this, I'm asking you to pray with me. Jesus, I believe. Tell him that. Jesus, I believe. Tell him, Jesus, I give my life to you completely today. Completely. I turn around, tell him I'm repenting. I'm repenting and I'm leaving all this junk that I tried to get life from, and I'm coming home right now. Tell him that. First time ever, you're coming home. First time ever, you are going to be in a relationship with our Heavenly Father through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Just tell him, Jesus, I believe. I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose again, and today I'm coming home. Welcome home, in Jesus' name, amen. Man, if that's you, praise God, your life is going to be brand new starting today, and we want to help you right now.
Just text the word ME, M-E, to 312-274-9624, 312-274-9624.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. God has got a plan for you that is amazing. When you can, even pull off to the side of the road and text the word ME, M-E, to 312-274-9624. We'll celebrate you by shouting out the last four numbers of your number straight ahead.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Okay, listen, I want to say 5467, welcome to the family. Awesome. Glad that you are giving your life to Jesus here and got that follow-up material being sent out to you. That's cool. Yeah, 6:15, 6:16 is our time, and we are ready to go. Tell us about the lost sheep, Allie.
Yes, so this is a series of parables that Jesus told. Now, it starts out with the lost sheep. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep? So there's this picture of this would be a shepherd, right?
Yep.
A shepherd.
Absolutely.
who leaves the 99 and goes to find that one sheep that's lost, puts it on his shoulders when he finds it and takes it back home. And then there's this big celebration when this one lost sheep is found.
So Jesus begins with the old dirty shepherd story. Because these guys, this was not a highly sought after job. These dudes had tough duty. And it was stinky, but they all had to have them. But it's a great story, isn't it?
Going after the one, leaving the 99. So if you've heard that expression, he left the 99 for the one. That's what this comes from, this parable. Leaving the 99 sheep to find the one who was lost.
Anyone else remember the flannel graph of the Jesus with the sheep over his shoulder?
Oh, yeah. And that was my favorite part. He hoists it up. You know what I'm saying? He just didn't, push it through or walk it in. He hoisted it up on his shoulders.
On his shoulders. It was a cool picture. Mm. Young Thunder, lost coin.
Yeah. Right after the parable of the lost sheep, he goes right into the coin and says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents.
Yeah, and I think this is cool. So he goes from a sheep to something of great value, probably a month's worth of income.
Yeah. You're not going to say, I got 9 left. It's fine. No,
this is serious stuff. Yeah. This isn't, I lost a quarter in today's economy.
Right.
Oh, let's go look for the quarter.
Right.
You ain't throwing a party for a quarter. You're throwing a party for a month's worth of cheddar.
That's true. I'd throw a party for that, too.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Can you imagine you lose your check from Moody for a month?
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, will not cut you a new one unless you find it.
No.
You got to find it or you can't cash it. Whoa, all of a sudden you'd be motivated.
Well, the emphasis here seems to be that there's value in the one thing that's lost. I mean, it didn't matter that there were 99 sheep still remaining.
Or 9 coins still
or
hanging
out. Or 9 coins. So the emphasis was not on what was already found, but on the one thing that was lost that's valuable to Jesus.
So here's the thing, and it's great because it really is a lead up to the wayward sons. This is where we get messed up. And in this case, the father who's super, uber wealthy, which is representative of our Heavenly Father, he's got a wayward son, and then he's got another wayward son. So the picture is the son that's in better shape at the end of this story that we see in Luke 15 is the younger son. The older son's sitting there. He says, everything you've ever asked me to do, I've done, and I've never gotten a stinking half-bred goat to share with my buddies. Look at what are you doing here, God? Yeah. Here's the deal. God illustrates in Luke 15 that lost people matter to him. They matter. So no matter how lost you may feel, God is caring for you today. Big time. I don't know where you're at with God, but it's time for us to celebrate on this Freedom Friday. Where did God find you? Because that's what matters. If you've been found, where did he find you?
312-274-9624. Where did God find you?
Where did he find you?
Where did God found me in a state of religious pride, of thinking that I had it all together because externally I had...
You followed the rules.
Yeah, I followed rules and, didn't have... My life was well ordered. And thinking that was kind of...
How'd that work for you?
Not great. A well-ordered life that's totally self-reliant, self-dependent. There's no life there.
There's none there. We're taking your calls. Where did God find you? Come on, Freedom Friday. Share your story. It's victory here, guys. 312-274-9624.
Let's go to Marcio. Where did God find you?
Hi, Karen Crew. I'm really encouraged to talk to you. You guys are amazing. Yeah, so I live in Venezuela. I was found in the middle of what I thought it was success. I had my car, I had my apartment that I bought, I had a good job, great family. I thought I wasn't lacking of anything, but in the middle of that, I was afraid of losing it. Somehow I wasn't feeling secure and was feeling. Then I took a vacation trip to Orlando. There, one of my wife's brother invited me to church. I'd gone before, but I never accepted that invitation. I would keep saying no. But that day, for some reason, I said, okay, let's go and watch the show.
Let's go and watch the show.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I was a believer. Then, basically, when I went, that was the first service that I visited. It looked like the pastor was talking directly to me.
Yeah.
I said, what? And he was referring about success, and he was talking about God's sovereignty, and how you could lose anything, you know, seconds, because if you die, then what's going to happen, right? So God, he was explaining how God has control over everything. I said, geez, that's probably what is happening to me. So why worry if I can trust God?
Yeah, right on. And
that's why it opened my heart, starting discipleship, get back to Venezuela, start serving. And I think I shared this story with you a long time ago. God used different circumstances to bring me back to the United States, and here was where we're living and serving also the Lord.
Let me ask you, Marcio, how many relatives do you have back in Venezuela right now?
I have one brother. Recently, last week, I lost my dad. Couldn't travel back there.
I'm sorry. You can't go back, right? You can't go back?
No. They will. Yeah, I don't have a valid passport.
Yeah.
Here in the States, we received it, but they don't know. But the good thing is that I was able to bring my brothers in the state. So I have a lot of family here because of that event that changed my life.
Marcio, thank you for calling in, my man. I love your story and the fact that God reached into your heart like that. Calls him out of Venezuela to Florida and goes to watch the show, and God smokes him by the power of his presence. The lost get found. We're asking this question today.
Where were you when God found you? Where did God find you? 312-274-9624.
Barbara, first time caller. And Gary, what do you say, Barbara?
I'm just thankful to pull me out of the garbage bin.
Yeah. Isn't that sweet, Barbara? Isn't that sweet?
Thank him.
Yeah.
I want to say I'm 80 years old, and I thank God for letting me be here this long. My parents didn't live this long, so I just thank him.
Yeah. Barbara, we love you, sister. First-time caller right there from Gary.
Wow.
You know, here's the thing. When you really understand the grace of God, you will say with Barbara, out of the pit, out of the garbage can. That's a fact, man. You realize his grace saved you. Taking your calls, guys.
Where did God find you? 312-274-9624. Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
We're rolling here today, guys. We're asking you for your story. Where did God find you? What are we getting this out of? Luke 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Let me dispel a myth. This notion that you need to be somewhat okay positioned for Jesus to save you is an absolute lie out of the pit of hell. Barbara just called in, first time caller, 80 years old, saying, God saved me out of the garbage or out of the pit. And I'm saying to you what I told Allie and the team when we went to a break. I am more confident in Barbara's salvation than I am of anyone's, because when you own that at that level, you understand the grace of God.
When you know that you are absolutely lost.
Yep.
When you know that you are in the pit and there's no illusion in your mind
Boom.
That you brought something to the table.
Boom.
That your nice upbringing or that your good deeds or that you're giving to charity or that you being kind and generous.
Or that you're somehow deserving.
Right. There's no illusion in your mind that any of those things matter.
Yep. Yep.
Man. So we're talking about lost things today.
Yeah.
Do you remember the name Baby Jessica? Do you remember that?
I
don't remember.
1987, Baby Jessica. Do you remember? It was this little toddler.
Yep.
Trapped.
I do.
You
trapped.
Remember? Trapped for 2.5 days in a well in Texas. And the whole nation was captivated by this 18-month-old
this kid out.
Who had fallen
that.
Into this well 22 feet down. And it was this dramatic rescue that the whole world watched. That name. Do you remember the joy that was experienced when this little girl was rescued? You have to be able to see yourself as that helpless to be able to be rescued by God.
You do.
Miriam, first-time caller from Skokie. Where did God find you?
God found me in a club partying.
Mm. What happened?
I was partying and some young ladies kept bothering me and taunting me. So I said, you know, something is fight night.
Ooh.
So I went in there thinking I was going to fight these young ladies, and God fought with me.
Mm.
Yeah, that's awesome, Miriam. Was that the night that God saved your soul, Miriam?
that's when he totally so saved me.
Ella, where did God find you, Ella?
So it was 2005, and I had a husband and two little boys, and wow, I was know-it-all. I knew it all. And one day I came home, and I found my husband dead, and he committed suicide. Mm. And that's when I saw, like, wow, my plan didn't work. Like, I thought I my life was set. But then I suffered from depression, and not right away, but years after, and it showed me what he was going through. And yes, like you said, when we have it all, we are not thinking about God, because it's us. We're like, we're on, you know, on the top of the world. But then when I was broken, alone, like nobody was around me, I felt like, why is this happening? That's when God found me.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
It's just amazing how he just gives life to dead bones. He gave me life.
Oof.
He showed me why things had to happen, and I don't go around blaming him. Why? I understand why, because if this didn't happen to me, if I didn't go to loneliness, brokenness, I would be living, but without him, and without him, life is not living. It's just surviving.
Ella, you're on fire, sister, and we love you. Thanks for calling in. Get one more. We're on a roll here.
Yeah, let's go to Julie from Chicago. Julie, where did God find you?
I don't want to by any means sensationalize any of this story, but when Carl said earlier, sometimes God finds you at the bottom of the barrel. Well, he found me at the end of a barrel. Mm. I was looking at a loaded 9mm about 25 years ago, and he did not allow that. I was drunk. I was literally in the pigsty. And I look back, and I am actually grateful that I wasn't rescued until that point, because, like you said, sometimes we have to find ourselves at the end. I was thinking about something the other day. We often say, you know, we have to ask Jesus into our heart and all that stuff. But here's what I found. In order to put God in our heart, we have to crumple him all up to make him fit. I think it's the opposite. I think he crumples us up.
Yes. Yes.
So we can fit into his.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes,
that's what happened to me one day at a time. He just crushed me so I could just fit into that.
Yeah.
You know? And dying to self was thankfully not dying to physically to my body. So he gave me a chance to die to myself spiritually. And that was the biggest gift he could give me.
Julie, let me tell you something, sister. Not only did you not sensationalize that horrific moment, you captured the gospel to a T. Your humility, your candor, your vulnerability is contagious, sister. And we're grateful for you today. Julie from Chicago. You know what part I'm doing in this song?
What's that?
The guy's talking in the background.
You're at the party.
6:57. We are celebrating the power of God to change lives. You had a question.
Yeah, celebrating the lost getting found. How do we know that someone's lost? What does that even mean?
Yeah, this is an interesting thing. You won't know you're lost until you do. I know this from a personal experience.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know you're lost until you do. Have you ever known people that have been out wandering around, they're totally lost, but they don't know it?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever been like that physically, not spiritually?
Where I didn't know that I was lost.
Yeah, that you're on the wrong path.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Because there's always a point where you have a realization of
it. Yes, that's the point. And here's the reality. In the spiritual realm, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Mm-hmm. So you don't know you're lost, really, until you're found. This is why some people freak out about whether or not they've been saved. And I say to people all the time, did the Holy Spirit reveal to you that you were lost?
Mm.
Yes. Did the Holy Spirit reveal to you that you needed the blood of Jesus to cleanse away your sin? Yes. Well, you're born again, you knucklehead.
There you go.
And that's a beautiful thing, because I believe that only the Holy Spirit can reveal the lost state of your soul. When you have this awareness that I have no idea where I'm going. I have no idea where I'm at in life. I don't know how I got here. I am totally lost.
Yeah, let me be really clear here. Let's not speculate. This is super important, guys, and you can't miss this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is an amazing promise of Jesus. In other words, you're either got the light switch flipped on or the light switch is off. There is no middle ground with the Holy Spirit. Either you are aware of your need for God in your life or you are clueless. Now, here's what I'm saying. I know you might have gone to church your whole life long, but I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about a living, breathing, dynamic relationship with the God of this world. And if that sounds foreign to you, you may not be born again. You may not be. But I got to tell you, if you come to the point where you at the end of yourself, this is why Luke 15 is so important. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. Why? Lost people matter to God. That's what every bit of this whole chapter is about. And if you come to the point where by God's grace, you can now see that you need a Savior and his name is Jesus, praise be to God. So I'm just going to cut to the chase here again. I'm going to do this again right now because somebody tuned in the last 5 minutes, maybe the last half hour. And right now you need to know that Jesus Christ is calling you out of that sinkhole that you're living in. And you might be saying to yourself, Carl, God can't save me from where I'm at. God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do the things others cannot do is what the hymn says. And that's what God wants to do in your life. You might say right now, I've sinned too much. I've gone too far away. I need you to know something. God loves the deepest, darkest sinner on this planet. I can assure you, if Adolf Hitler repented on his deathbed when he was in that cave taking that poison and he had an awareness that Jesus Christ died for his sins, he would be born again if he repented of his sins and claimed the blood of Jesus Christ. No one has gone too far. No one is out of God's reach. I don't care how much lying you've done. I don't care how much cheating. I don't care how much stealing. I don't care how much deception. I don't care how much abuse you've done to your body. God can save your soul right now. And you might say, how? God so loved the world that he sent his only son that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish in your lostness, but will have everlasting life. A term for everlasting life is the word Zoe. It means a quality of life that changes in an instant. All you must do is believe today. Just believe. And if you are right there right now and you're saying, Carl, is it really true that God will take me as I am? It's the only way you're fit for the kingdom. If you try to keep pretending that somehow you can be good enough for God, you're in a more pitiful place than the lowest of the low. But if you've come to this realization that you need God and you're at the bottom, you're at the end of yourself, let me tell you are fit for the kingdom of God today like you never have been before. I want you to pray with me right now. Right now, this is your moment of salvation. This is the new day. I'm asking you to put pride on the shelf. I'm asking you to turn your back on your arrogance and the shame that you might. Satan's tempting you to feel like, oh, you're going to be embarrassed. You've been in church your whole life, or you're too cool to follow Jesus. You're not too cool to follow Jesus. Today is your day of salvation. Pray with me. Jesus, today I give you my life. Today I admit I'm a failure. Today I admit I'm the lowest of the low. Today I admit I'm lost. Thank you for finding me. I confess to you my sin. I confess to you that I've got massive problems in my life and I need a savior. And I admit today and I confess and I agree with you, his name is Jesus. And I thank you. Tell him this. Thank you that the blood of Jesus washes away my sin today. And that I stand new in Jesus. Thank you, God, that I do not have to be flooded with shame over my past and everything up to this moment. It's a new day now. And then tell him this, I follow Jesus today and the rest of my life by your power, by your grace that you're showing me now, by the grace that you're saving me with, by your power that you're saving me with, I'm going to follow you with, not my own power. In Jesus' name, amen, and let it be. If that is you, I want you to right now respond to an offer that we have only for brand new Jesus followers, just for you today.
Just text the word ME, M-E, to 312-274-9624. ME to 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Got a heavy-duty testimony coming in here, Allie.
Yes, I just saw this. Someone who understood the depths of God's grace. They were found in some real sin that got exposed publicly.
I don't want to go away to a song right now. I want you to give us the cliff notes of this in as clear a language as you possibly can.
Yes.
Okay?
This, I'm going to read as much as that I can and kind of leaving out some details. This person said, I never would have understood the depths of God's grace until he allowed me to go through his discipline. With pride as the root, he exposed my sexual sin publicly. He needed to do it this way because I didn't heed warnings. He was patient, but I didn't listen. He drove me to my knees through his word after listening to a sermon on confession and repentance. There were some legal issues going on here I won't get into, but this person received Christ as their savior. They say, now he's my Lord. I don't want to go through his discipline again, but I'm thankful for the experience. I never would have understood or experienced forgiveness and reconciliation the way I have now. Praise God for the men's ministry he's allowed me to be a part of regarding sexual brokenness, accountability, and transparency. Thankful for his pursuit of a wayward son.
It's one of the most beautiful things in the world. We are so grateful for that story. So let me ask you right now, the reason I wanted Allie to hit that, does that bounce off you as that's your story? Is today the day that you need to surrender your life to Jesus once and for all and never, ever look back again? 5837 just gave it up to Jesus. 8904 just gave their life up to Jesus. How about you? Is this your moment? Today you say, I'm repenting. I'm turning around. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sin because I'm a mess. Just tell them that. And if you're giving your life to Jesus today, we want to help you with your first steps. Just text the word ME, M-E, to 312-274-9624. Just ME to 312-274-9624. God changing lives. Let it be yours. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.